Hi, this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. Now, you know, everyone that I ask to be on the show, I ask because they're here to purely and completely and lovingly serve you in living a life of miracles and having your dreams come true. And I search out those people. And when I find them, I feel like my heart's on fire when they speak and tears come to my eyes. And that is exactly the way I felt the first time I heard today's guest, a miracle in my life and a dream come true for a spiritual home, the Reverend Andriette Earle of the East Bay Church of Religious Science. Welcome, Reverend Andriette.
Thank you, Ira.
Is it okay to call you that, or should I call you Reverend Earle?
No, Reverend Andriette is perfect.
Oh, it's such a pretty name.
Thank you.
And you're such a beautiful being.
And you
have inspired me beyond words to describe, and that is what I am committed to bringing people on this program. Mm. And with everything I do is committed to that. So would you like to do a prayer for what we're going to do here?
Yeah, just to begin together in a synchronized way, I just ask that anyone listening just allow my voice to be the collective voice, to know that right where we are, there is but one of us in truth, that God is, and that God is all there is, that right where each one of us is, the allness that is God is expressing to its fullest capacity in that individual. And so I'm giving thanks for knowing that right here and right now something magnificent is unfolding, that to the glory of God, by the grace of God, the goodness that is God is pouring out into each one out of our willingness to be together in this moment, out of our willingness to be an open place for the wonderment, for the miracle, for the dream to be realized, for the vision to be actualized. And so I am grateful. I am giving thanks for all that is happening here, not the least of which I can even be aware of. I can't begin to think of the cells. I can't number the cells that are healing now, that are shifting their form and formation. I cannot begin to even understand how the flow of blood is creating. I don't know. And yet I'm trusting and believing and willing and available for the divine healing that I know is absolutely God, the goodness that is God. I am willing to participate in whatever way is destined for me. And I know that I'm not alone in that. And so I simply give thanks for whatever is unfolding. I'm giving thanks and blessing Iris for the amazing work that she's doing. I'm giving thanks for the invitation that if I don't do anything else, if I never utter another word for the rest of my life, that this prayer is a blessing. And I'm giving thanks for being empowered to speak a word of blessing in this moment. And so it is an absolute perfect gratitude that I simply accept and bless the goodness that I know is unfolding here miraculously. And only miraculously, because we cannot see the presence of God in all of its forms and fashions. And yet my sense is that if we could, it would not be a miracle at all. It would be what we expect and anticipate. It would be the way we know God is always and in always. But just for right where we are right now, I simply give thanks. I give thanks for what we're calling the miracle. I give thanks for the divine wonderment. I give thanks that our mind is being blown right now. The limits are being removed. Any perception of limitation is being removed. There's a divine expansion. The circle is being enlarged, and it includes all of us. And for this, I give thanks. So it is an absolute perfect gratitude that I simply let go and I let God. That trusting, knowing, believing, I am anticipating good and more good. I release this word. into the perfect activity of law. I know that it's turbocharged by my tremendous faith and my willingness to know and trust. I seal it for all eternity. In the name of the all-knowing, in the name of Christ and the Christ consciousness, in the name of that that is good and all good and is blessing us always, I simply say, and so it is. Amen.
And so it is. Men, women, children, and yee-haw! the hair on the back of my neck stands up when you do that.
I'm trusting that's a good thing.
It is.
Oh, praise
God. I just feel alive in the space that you opened there. Mm. And that's your starting point for your sermons.
Yeah.
I don't know whether to call them sermons or talks. For you that don't know, Reverend Andriette is widely known in the New Thought community and beyond for her dynamic edutainment style. And you are entertaining, my darling.
Thank you.
And fun.
Mm.
And alive.
Mm.
You know, Reverend Andriette, before we were going to go on, she said she had to have her portable phone because she needs to walk while she's preaching.
Yeah. And it's a lot of energy.
It is a lot of energy.
Yeah, there's a lot of energy present in this, and so it helps.
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it does. Our subject today is about having financial freedom,
mm-hmm.
regardless of what it looks like
mm-hmm.
on the outside, and having it now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought you might like to talk a little bit about religious science and the premises and the... I don't want to tell you how to start.
Yeah.
I'm just... sort of trying to draw forth what you have to give here.
Absolutely. What I'd say first is what it represents to me is the teachings of Jesus in practice. That's what it represents to me. I think very simply many would say that religious science is really has a doctrine that's not against anything, but is for the absolute evolution of humankind. And the evolution of humankind is really about the realization of the presence of God in and as everything. And so religious science, I think at its core, is, Ernest Holmes has said, is the correlation of religion and philosophy and certainly spirituality. Deep within that is this absolute belief that God is all there is. And that in knowing that, in recognizing it, and connecting with it, experiencing it in all and as all, that there is freedom and what we call healing. I think really the word healing speaks to our limitation and our lack of awareness of what's really happening in us at all times. Because we're just like a millisecond away from absolutely believing, and in that belief, realizing everything that we think is missing. The trick is that the fact that we think it's missing means that it's unavailable to us, and that's what keeps us from it. And the moment we drop that, we're in the very mist, living in the very mist of that we so desire, or that we are, because it really is even letting go of the desire and realizing that, as my friend Ellen Cohen says, we had it all the time.
Yeah. What is that quote? I don't know his name, that on Wednesday night read that when you are ready, all that has already been given will appear.
I know we were reading on Wednesday night from Greg Braden's Divine Matrix. And we've also been reading from Neville. And what's interesting is that Greg Braden is quoting Neville as well in his work.
Well,
so it's this combination.
You know, I've never heard of Neville before that you were speaking of him the other night. And is it Neville like Cher, or are there two names?
Kind of. He only wrote using just his last name.
Okay.
Now, wait a minute.
N-E-I-L-L-E?
Yes. And I forget whether that's his first or last in this moment.
Well, you know what's wonderful is you quote from all the people I'm reading, and then you also give me more. And they all are pretty much saying the same thing, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
And it's good to get them in so many different ways, because
mm-hmm.
it can actually crystallize and click
mm-hmm.
when you immerse yourself in the teachings.
Right. Right.
So what would you say to people about appearances of, I don't even know what to call it, you know, this financial climate, what is being reported by the media? And
I would say, above all, be aware. Ah, and even as I said that, what I heard in my mind's ear is from The Lion King, the song Be Prepared. And I just heard be prepared, which means be aware, be spiritually aware in such a way that you're not tossed and turned by the winds of time and whatever the theme of the moment is.
Yeah, whatever is popular in the media.
Yes, yes, or infamous is what ultimately I think history plays out that way. So it's whether it's about gas prices or real estate this or terrorists that or elections this or school system that or whether it's the crime rate here, there, or the other place and how they're choosing to counted, those who are in the business of keeping the statistics and to predict what will happen next and what, just the degree to which we're going to hell in a handbasket. That it's be prepared, that there's always going to be that. Be prepared and know that the moment you tune in, meaning that you take out your proverbial earplugs of listening to the quality of up-leveling your own self-talk and tune into the world, that the world is already geared to give you some information to get you back into your proper place in line.
Oh, instead of acknowledging your oneness with God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that in that, we have not yet exhausted or even really cracked the shell to get to the sweet meat of what that really means and what's available to us in that.
Well, you know, all the things you quote from, the Greg Braden, the Joel Goldsmith, Neville, the boys you think
Yes, I call them my boys. That's right. Glenn Clark is among them.
Oh, and I don't even know about Glenn Clark. I'm writing this down.
Oh, yes. Glenn Clark was the founder of the camp Farthest Out. And
Camp Farthest Out?
Yes. And he
just
has an amazing work, a body of work on prayer and on faith. I would say that what I love about his work is that it really speaks to prayer and faith. And those two, you know what I mean? The point of being in prayer is to really articulate and experience one's faith.
Yes.
And to call it into a specific, I want to say, application.
Yes.
To put it in a direction, to aim it.
Yes.
And so he does a magnificent work with that. Certainly Stuart Wilde. You know, Ernest Holmes is one of the boys.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
You know who else?
Howard Thurman is certainly one of the boys.
Who?
Howard Thurman.
Now I
an African American mystic.
Thurman, T-H-U-R-M-A-N?
Yes.
Oh, and you know who I wanted to be sure you're reading?
Who?
Emily Caddy.
Oh, yes.
Do you have Lessons
yes.
in Truth?
I do have that, yes.
I have so
yes.
many things underlined in that book.
Oh, my.
And I have, it's dog-eared with little hearts and
yes.
underlines. And,
yes.
And it speaks to me.
Yeah.
And uplifts me every day.
Absolutely.
And so... You're saying whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever
yes.
things are freedom,
yes.
focus on these things.
Absolutely.
Instead of the news.
Absolutely.
Well,
and here's
you know,
the thing. Oh, go ahead.
No, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Here's the thing about that for me is, and although, let me first give the disclaimer, even as I say this, I'm not saying it from the mountaintop where I've planted the flag and said, look, everybody, this is what I do all the time. I live right at the tip of the mountaintop, and so I'm just here to serve because I got it and y'all don't. No. I'm instead saying I'm doing my best to remind me.
Yep.
To shift my thinking the moment I find that I am moving into when I realized this morning that on my wireless bill that I was being charged for that I'm not to be charged for, I realized that even in my languaging for them, I caught myself as I started to say, but no, this is my complaint. And I thought, I really have no complaint. I have nothing to complain about. What I have is a request that they make the correction. But I had to keep talking to me because I realized that there was within my way of thinking about this a temptation to make them wrong and me, you know, I could see that kind of an old world view that I know has not been serving me. So I was looking and editing my language and my, I beg your pardon?
Victim of the phone company.
Yes, yes.
Which
yes.
almost everybody thinks they are.
You see, and if they fixed it, then I'd be all better. No, I'm already all better.
Yes.
And I have a specific request.
Please fix this.
Yes.
Well,
and do it in this way.
And you must have been reading or working with Marshall Rosenberg, too, the nonviolent communication.
Oh, there is that, too. Yes.
Yeah. Do you know about him?
Yeah, I do. And I'm just feeling a place in my heart of, ooh, I really ought to have that more present to me.
Yeah. Well, you will.
It bears... remind, and I'm so glad you're mentioning it is a reminder.
Well, you did, you know, you talked Wednesday about that great divide between the consciousness of victim and the cause of the,
yeah.
and the consciousness of master and coming
yeah.
from cause
yeah.
and full responsibility.
Yeah.
And there's just a big yawning, gaping hole between those two. And it's a leap, you know?
You know, Iris, I sometimes am a little cautious about perceiving that I'm more than a millisecond away from grace. You know what I mean? From it being different. So I think that from a particular vantage point, it can absolutely feel like I'm light years away from being fully empowered. And yet, in truth, my heart says, that I'm but an idea away, a belief away, a bit of, it's this whole idea that in scripture where the Father says, you know, I believe, but help thou my unbelief.
Yeah.
And so I'm, the moment I believe, and that's part of Jesus' teaching for me, that the moment you believe, the moment you drop the doubt and any hint of trying to, in the movie, what is the title of the movie that I love where the two brothers are swimming and the one says, you know, how could you have possibly beat me? Gattaca. The movie is Gattaca.
Uh-huh.
And the brother that is, quote, the weaker brother is the one who has won the swim race. And the stronger brother says, how could you possibly have beat me? And he says, I didn't save anything for the swim back. And I think the moment that's the kind of faith Jesus is talking about. When we
yes.
just bet it all on this right here.
Well, you know what else is I'm writing this down for the swim back. I have, my husband has always given our resources to, first of all, to the ascension of all life, to the upliftment of all life,
mm-hmm.
and then distribute the rest of our finances in a way that we felt divinely guided to do.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they have been so different than what would, an investment counselor or someone would
mm-hmm.
say to do with your money.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you an example. My beloved husband had cancer, and it was obvious that he was dying.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some land in Texas that's an inheritance, and I had been offered both an oil lease and for timber.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like I had like 12 pounds of medical bills and all of these things staring me in the face, and I was also taking care of him 24/7 and handling my business and his business, and I sat down in my meditation and I said, okay, God, what shall I do about this and about money? And we're just really clear, you should grow 30 acres of trees there to help people breathe and help the animals have a place to go.
Mm.
Because they're doing that all the way around there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the willingness. And I said to my husband, shall we do this? And he said, yes. And he got this beautific smile on his face that we could give that together.
Yeah.
And it was so important to him. And, you know, I have to tell you, God has handled every single thing.
Yeah.
Every single thing. And it's because I know I work for God and I follow instructions.
Yeah.
Don't you find that's the most important thing?
That's so true. Because in the way that you described it, what I got, and I'm not pretending that what I get is the allness of it. I just glean what I can glean, and someone else will have another piece of the puzzle, or they'll see a larger sense of what this is. But I saw that you were this idea of keeping the main thing, and putting God right out there in the front position of saying which way to go and just keep taking us wherever.
Yeah.
But the moment, but we're always empowered to go up and cut in front and say, I got it now. I'll lead, a piece of the way, or I'll lead the rest of the way. And that would be just fine for the one that's choosing that, and they will likely have very different results.
Wait a minute. My mind sort of just crashed and burned there, someplace in the middle of that, and I didn't get... Would you just say what you just said in a different way?
Hmm. That what I heard in your sharing, and thank you, first of all, for your willingness to share, so personally and so intimately, what I heard in just kind of the overarching sense of it is that your, whatever your process was, that it collapsed into the simple idea of you putting God first. Of saying, this is where I'll get the information, because there are all kinds of resources and sources that you might have consulted as to what to do.
Yeah, and they wouldn't have said that.
You see?
Yeah.
Yeah, and now there may be, in all fairness, there may have been someone or some organization that you would consult who would absolutely have said, here's what to do. Because I think God is that good that it would come through, but... There's also those who would have suggested the selling the timber or the drilling or selling it outright. There would have been a variety of ideas. By going within and by trusting that was for the highest and best and moving in that way, it was putting the divine intelligence in the front. And here's what I know is true, is that I think every life has some of that. And I think the game that we play with it is a bit of a leapfrog. So put God out in front, meaning leading the way.
Yes.
Following that way.
Yes.
And then we leapfrog it to say, oh, I got this. I'm going to work here. I'm going to live here. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do, I'm not tapped in. I'm not inquiring. I'm not sitting with. I'm not seeking any longer. The insight.
Well, the thing, when you do something like that and you go against appearances,
mm-hmm.
you have to know that you have in order to have something like that to give. And also, my husband and I always wanted to create something beautiful, and we wanted to give thanks to God for bringing us together. And so we wanted everything that we did to create more beauty and love and harmony and happiness for life. It's just that thing. I've always felt like I've been given, you know what you say about those who are given much of,
yeah.
of those is required much?
Yeah.
I sort of get it like it has been incumbent on me to earn my wings every day because of the blessings I've been given.
Mm.
To be loved like that.
Mm-hmm.
To love like that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow.
So, I think it's acknowledging what God has given you to
absolutely.
Give that way.
And it also, what I'm sensing in that is an awareness that because I have. How do I say this? Because I'm consciously aware that I'm so loved. I know that I have that to give. You know, when I look at children in particular, and children that are loved and they know they're loved, they just are, you know, they're amazing little love-ets.
Yeah.
You know, lovers. They
yeah.
just are in the world in a different way than the one who is trying to save some for the ride home, you know, who isn't feeling that. My sense is that it offers us that sense of a generous spirit. Because I have so much, I'm not trying to covet this love, because I don't have any sense of this being the last time I'll have it or the only place I can get it, or I just don't have any of that awareness.
Yeah.
For the individual. That's what I hear you saying, that the two of you just had so much that, you know, you could just kind of open up the floodgate.
Yeah. You know, my husband said to me one time, he said, you know, people are kinds of pools. And he said, you're the kind of pool that runs over and goes back down into the creek in the river. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes, it is.
Isn't that romantic?
What a lovely soul.
Yeah.
What a blessing.
And let's see. I want to. So you're talking about the awareness of already having been given.
Yeah.
That which you desire
yeah.
is the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is the truth, and so you're saying as we tune into the truth, oh, and you know who else you quote all the time is Abraham.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good, too.
And so you're saying the
Abraham,
same as
yes.
with the news things is to tune into the higher vibrations and frequencies of truth.
Mm-hmm.
That everything is all right, that everything
yeah.
is happy, that everyone
yeah.
is fed.
Yes.
Well, you know, what about the thing in the Bible that says, these things which I do shall you also do, and also greater things. I'd like to hear your opinion on the greater things.
You know, I think it's, I don't know. Let me start with an I don't know, in all fairness.
Okay.
I do not know. And yet when I think about it, I think it's so much. I think it's that right now we have ethnicities who are blending and living together and communicating in ways that it wasn't that long ago that no one would have ever believed that that could have ever happened. that we could be living as we do now. That, for example, at East Bay Church, where we have quite a diverse community, and even though it flies in the face of an awareness that Sunday is the most segregated morning, you know, when folks are in their churches, it's very, it's very different for most communities. And so what we have at the East Bay Church of Religious Science is very different than, so I think that that's part of the an even greater thing shall he do. I think that technology gives us a sense of that. I think that we are living in the upward spiral. Now that's regardless of how it looks. I think every generation has a sense of the negation and degradation of morality and, you know, I mean, they just have a whole list of how it ought to be more like it used to be. But I do think, I really believe that what we're experiencing is the even greater thing shall ye do.
Well, I think it's sort of like this, you know, I studied for a certain period of time to be a psychologist because I wanted to really help people, like especially in high school, I saw that so many of my classmates were just really suffering with the way their home life was, and I wanted to find something, the keys to happiness, and bring it back to all of them because I loved them so much. And I studied it to a certain point, and then there was this thing that Freud said that stopped me in my tracks, and that was the, you know, the psychotic or no, the neurotic person could be, after, you know, a certain number of years, reduced to everyday unhappiness. And I just quit studying psychology right then. I said, no, that's not good enough.
Hmm.
That's not a gift to give people.
Hmm.
I wanted something divine,
mm-hmm.
something unlimited. I wanted the truth then.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted the real truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, why am I telling you that? I have a whole list of things I wanted to ask you and tell you. Oh, I think that one of the greater things we do is just the prayer that you just issued, and that we created the holy instant that you and I said together, where two or more gather together, they may ask what they will, and it shall be done. Well, I believe that it was done at that moment. It's done at that moment.
Hmm.
And so, I feel like I don't want the way things used to be.
Yeah.
I want a condition of life that is so far beyond people getting sick and suffering.
Hmm.
And anybody not having food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want everyone to have a glorious place to live. I want
yeah.
every woman to have at least one silk dress.
Yeah.
Everybody should feel silk. I want everyone to live in a place that when they drive up, and it's different for everybody, but
yeah.
when they drive up, they just go, ow!
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
That it feels good, that it feels like the right place for me, that everybody has their right place.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I do, and the Reverend, oh no, I can't think of her name right now. Aubrey, Dr. Aubrey, Reverend Dr. Aubrey, she said that when she eats, she gives thanks and says, all souls come and eat first before I do.
Mm.
So she's inviting everyone on earth to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I started thinking about the loaves and the fishes when I started doing that prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became for me that I would say, beloved, I am presence. Thank you for this food. Make it pure and holy. Transmute it into thy violet golden flame of divine love that perfects my body with the speed of thought forever self-sustained. Mm-hmm. And multiply it 600 billion times or whatever it takes to feed every life stream and life form in, upon, and above the earth, and see that all are clothed and housed and loved and honored and cherished and supported and protected and victorious in their mission.
Mm-hmm.
And to pray, just to pray that way and to accept it every time you eat, that's got to do some good on the planet.
Well, what I love that I'm gleaning out of it is, and I'm not pretending to be able to like decode it or somehow mathematically discern anything about it. What I hear overwhelmingly is your amazing love for humanity. And you see, out of that, here's where I live. It really doesn't matter what you say. I mean, that's just my idea. When you have that amazing love, if you just said the code is, you know, 2389, and that would mean, from that amazing love, that would mean a blessing. It's just you outward. I'm moving my hands outward. It's you touching. It's you expressing is a better word. It's you expressing that divine love and sending it forward. And then the sending it forward, it almost is, it's like throwing out magnetically charged things that are going to, of course, be attracted to the magnet pole.
Huh?
That was so clear to me, Iris. That was so clear. What I mean is that in your amazing love, whatever energy you're expressing, I'm going to call it, in my mind, magnetically charged. The ideas, the energy, the intention, the expression, all of that. And so where it goes is where there is a magnetic pole, a polar opposite, if you will. Opposites attract in that way. So it absolutely is feeding, is blessing, is being the blessing where that opportunity is. It's where there's an open vessel. And for the one who is saying, like when we were talking on Wednesday night, in that experience at East Bay Church, that this idea of a consciousness of victimhood says that it really doesn't matter what people are saying. They don't mean it. You see, so if I were there and you said your prayer as you did so beautifully sharing that with us, if I'm in an attitude, in a consciousness of victimization and victimhood and all of that, that's the vibration from which I'm operating,
yeah,
and from which I see, if that's the prism, my perception,
yeah,
then my response is, she doesn't really mean that. She's saying it because we're on the radio, but she doesn't really mean that. And so, of course, that cancels it. You see what I'm saying? If for every time I think that, I whittle away that part that would have fed me and would have benefited me.
Oh, and then that's the part that you were saying Wednesday night is saying they have it, and
yes,
that's why I don't have,
yes,
it. And see, that's,
yes,
the thing we have to eradicate. There's plenty of cake for everyone. There's,
right,
plenty of cakes. There's cakes all over, and as long as you say there aren't any cakes, you don't see the cakes.
Yeah. And that's easy for us to, and I think part of that victim mindset would say, well, that's easy for y'all to say you have cake. You know, you have a home. Your rent is paid. You have a job. You have an income. You have a car. But I don't have that. How do you expect me to? And it's just, it's a form of blinders.
Well, you know, my answer to that is, our house burned down in 1980.
Mm-hmm.
And the bank thought we were paying the insurance. We thought they were paying the insurance.
Mm.
So then we had furniture payments and the house payments and lawyer payments
mm-hmm.
because the bank sued us.
Mm.
And so we had payments on less than nothing. And I was working with a a master of manifestation teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And so I learned to manifest pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was like an emergency, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I just thank God for that experience because, you know, the first thing I found out after the house burned down was that I had everything that was important to me. My cats were outside, my kids were with me, my husband was away. And when I walked up into the driveway, my neighbors were crying when they saw me coming because it was just to the ground.
Mm.
And I said to God, I did not experience this as a tragedy. I said to God, why did this happen? And they said, you wanted to move, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
And it was on every level, in mm-hmm. every plane, in every dimension. And, you know, I did. I wanted to learn. I wanted to grow. And
yeah.
You know, you were talking earlier about there being two things in manifestation, clarity and acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
And,
in imagination.
Yes.
Yes. Imagination is key.
Talk about that some more.
Well, it's an extension of what we've been talking about, because if one is in that place of, you know, what I just heard on the news is really coloring my whole perspective, or I'm beginning to live my life from that belief of crime being at its highest potential. I'm making these things up because I do not know what they're saying right now. Crime and wars, or rumors of wars, and conditions. There's this contagion of fear even around, you know, what's in the water or what the pesticides are and so forth. And I'm not debating whether scientifically we can prove that there are these elements there. The impact that they have, here's what I say, there's never been anything that killed everybody. And I know that there's a reason for that. The plague, or there's nothing, there's no pesticide that has wiped out everybody in any given time. No germ, no bacteria. I'm not talking about whether it has the potential. We just have to decide where we're living. So for the one who hears that and believes it, they begin to imagine it impacting their lives. That individual begins to imagine it, that condition, that situation, that circumstance, that germ, that bacteria, that bank crisis affecting them. And we begin, like the magnetically charged prayer, we begin to call that to us for the one who harps on that. So that's why I think, you know, Paul encouraged us to think on these things.
Yes.
Think on these things that are good, these things that are light, these things that are freeing, rather than these things that take us captive and restrict our breathing and cause us to sweat and, you know, and be afraid.
Well, you know, also that reason we're shown things is because, see, I see it sort of like we're the SWAT team, and then we have divine intervention, which is the Ascended Master, the Angelic Host, the great cosmic beings, and it is our job and our responsibility being embodied here is that when we see things that cause distress to life, that are limiting, is that we just call divine intervention into them. We call for enlightenment. We call for awakening. You know, I see it. You know, you were talking about it's just a millisecond away from choosing something else. Well, you know what? In my imagination, what if we all just choose something else, all in a millisecond, just mm-hmm. turned to the light and said, you know, we choose what is for the best and highest for all life,
right.
What is pure and sacred and beautiful mm-hmm. and harmonious.
Mm-hmm.
We choose to do these things. See, there's a divine solution for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we can just touch lightly on those things when we're shown. And I call activities of the sacred fire. Do you use the violet flame at all?
No.
Well, this is something I have to give you, my darling.
Ah!
It's from Saint Germain. Saint Germain
brought
it to free us from all embodiments. See, the reason we manifested a lot of things is because in our emotional body, which we bring in with us, there are deep grooves of pain that cause us to, like, sort of return to that. And the violet flame is the flame of healing, forgiveness, transmutation, transformation. And it frees us from everything that is not God's truth. One of the things I like to do is sometimes, you know, I excuse my language. I know you're a minister and all, but actually I'm a minister too. But, you know, when you get that vague, shitty feeling and you don't know what it is.
I think I'm supposed to say, no, I don't. It would only be ministerial of me, too.
Well, it's that thing that when your ego gets up before you in the morning.
Yes, I understand. But I should give us a little sense of being ministerial. Because that's about all we're going to get.
Okay. Fine with me. But what I have done in the past is, you know, when I used to get that way, was write down all of those things that I'm thinking and then burn them and call the violet flame to consume all cause, core, effect, record, memory, and momentum of them. And I am asking, I'm doing the ho'oponopono there. I'm saying, I'm sorry, please forgive me. I see the error of my ways. I burn it now, and I call the sacred fire of transmutation.
I love that, Iris. What you're reminding me of, and I think in full disclosure, yes, I have used the purple flame. It's been such a long time ago, though. And I know what you're reminding me of is that there's so many ways, so many paths, so many practices, so many ways for us to stand in the light.
Yes.
Just as there are, as an African American, there are so many shades of skin tone and degrees of melanin, and it's all good. So in this and on any path, there's all of these possibilities right now, and I'm so glad that you mentioned the Ho'oponopono, because that it could really be distilled into I love you.
Yes.
I was thinking that the key tonality, if you will, or the key vibration for all of it is love. And so there's so many people who are thinking maybe, you know, well, with whom would I study, or I wouldn't know how to go, or where to get the books, or I don't have the money. It's really, it distills right down to love. And so one doesn't have to leave the house or leave wherever they're seated or standing or do anything other than be in touch with the amazing love of God that's surrounding and enfolding and living each of us right now. It's to simply honor that.
Well, you know, not only that, if you think you don't have the money, somebody will give you the book. If you are willing, God shows the way. I also want to say about taking extreme measures. For me, I've always put the spiritual growth first and invested in that. And so even though it, you know, indications might say I didn't have the money, I would still find a way to do that. That thing that was going to further my spiritual growth. And with the knowing and the commitment that I work for God, that God's going to handle this. And that if I'm not supposed to take it, well, whoopee-dee, you know? If I'm not supposed to take it, I won't be there, but I will be where my I Am Presence, God in me, desires me to be to give the greatest service.
Absolutely. It's impossible to not be with that attitude. And for the one who, for whatever reason, can, and it feels like to me we're offering something for everyone. So for the ones who can come along with out of your response to say, look, just do what you can. And for the one who really feels like they cannot reach up out of the deep hole that they're in, even in the hole, I love you makes a huge difference.
Yes.
So if nothing else happened, if they have lost their voice and could only think, I love you. You follow me? It's like,
yes,
like
I love where you are.
No argument. It's a right where you are. Each of us can do that.
Yep.
Each of us can. And then my sense is, in doing that, over time, one begins to see something else that's possible. There'll be divine inspiration. And in that inspiration will be revealed another way, another step, another key, another piece of the puzzle. I love it.
I love it, too.
You have really gone the distance, Iris. You've been busy yourself.
I have.
I love it.
There was something I was trying to find in this Emily Caddy book, which...
Shall I grab mine?
Do you have Lessons in Truth?
I do.
There's something that says, let spirit take full possession of you. And that means I give myself completely to God and know then that the highest will is being done in me all the time.
Mm.
And,
Well, you said it beautifully.
Well, it's something like that. I didn't say it exactly like that. But I think that that is the work. That is the work. And, you know, before we run out of time, I want to say that East Bay Church of Religious Science is worth going to from any place around the world. I feel the thing there that I always wanted to feel in church and never found till then.
Oh, I'm so glad. You know I agree with you.
I know you
I have
do.
To, and I'm thinking of what a wise woman you are. Can I do just a little commercial with that?
Absolutely.
Because on Sunday we are honored to have Dr. Rocco Errico, who is an amazing individual. He is... He speaks Aramaic and has studied extensively. So what he's able to do is working with the language spoken by the patriarchs, by Jesus and his apostles and their contemporaries, he's able to decode scripture in a way that really breathes new life into it, and it helps us to understand the customs, the idioms, the psychology, the symbolism, and the philosophies of the Semitic people. So he just unlocks a lot of the puzzles for us around biblical passages. And so he's with us on Sunday, August 24th. He's speaking at our 10 a.m. service and our 12 noon service, and his topic is the gospel according to Jesus. That's his workshop at 3 p.m. is the gospel according to Jesus. But his morning talk is the kingdom of God. And so it's going to be an amazing Sunday, just wisdom and clarity, and he has such a sense of humor and a delightful way.
Dr. Rocco, R-O-C-C-O.
Errico, R-O-C-C-O, last name E like Edward, R-R-I-C-O. Dr. Rocco Errico, he studied with Dr. George Lamsa, who was Syrian, and taught him Aramaic and studied with him for over a decade and just has written a number of books that I own and study just that have helped me to really understand the peace and love that's embedded in Scripture and how the idioms are used for people who understood them because it was based in the parables that were based on the kind of life they were living.
Yes.
So it was very, they understood them. We're trying to decode them, you know, in this century, given our awareness and prejudices and so forth. And he helps us to see it more clearly. And so I encourage that this would be an excellent Sunday, every Sunday. It's an amazing time and an opportunity for healing and revealing the absolute perfect expression of God in all people at all times.
And let me say again, it's worth going there from any place on earth. It's at 41st and Telegraph in Oakland.
Yes.
And tell people how they can reach you otherwise.
Well, they can be with me on Wednesday evenings at East Bay Church. Our meditation for the Wednesday evening healing service begins at 6:15. Service is 1 hour. We kind of hit it and quit it, I say, from 6:30 to 7:30. And I can be reached certainly through the East Bay Church website, which is www.ebcrs.org.
Thank you, Reverend Andrea. Thank you for being here. I hope you'll come back and do this again.
It's been my pleasure, Iris.
If you listen to this but would like to tell your friends, you can get it on the archives, The Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True archives on BBS. And we thank you for listening. We'll be back 2 o'clock Monday. Until then, happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep shining until then. Happy trails to you till we meet again.
You're a kick, Iris.
I love you.
I love it.
And this is my wish for you, that all your dreams come true and are 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible. Men, women, children, and yee-haw!
I accept. Thank you.
And so it is.
And so it is, my love.